And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, written by Joseph Mendel, is Solid Oak Floor. I suppose you have a bed. I'm not asking if the wood needs polishing, or the pillow a little more stuffing. It's a bed, isn't it? Then tell me, have you ever slept on the floor? A foolish question. If you have a bed, why should you sleep on the floor? Now just listen. When you've heard the story, I think you'll understand what I mean.
Avram, are you asleep, Avram? Wake up, Avram.
Is it time to get up already? I just put my head on the pillow.
Avram.
Where are my shoes? How is it I can never find my shoes?
Never mind your shoes. Do you smell something? Something like...
Not even light, and she's asking questions. Roses I smell, perfume from Paris.
Avram, it's smoke.
Smoke? It is smoke. Hannah, the houses are burning. The whole street is on fire.
Faster.
More water.
Here, Avram, you're too close to the fire. Move back.
Here, take the pail, Mordecai. Get more pail. Fast, run.
You're too close. Look, your hair is thin.
Jacob's house has gone.
You hear, Mordecai, the flames have jumped across the street. Don't just stand there.
It's no use, Avram.
If you won't help, then get out of the way. Faster. More water.
This is not a fire to be put out with a pail of water.
My house is burning, don't you understand?
It's no use, I tell you.
Get out of my way.
Don't be a fool. Would it help if you're burned, too? Look at the street, the flames on both sides.
It's no use, is it, Mordecai? No use.
This is how it started, with the fire. The flames moved without haste and without stopping. After a while, the townspeople set down the useless pails of water and watched the fire consume two whole streets of houses. Among them, the house of Avram and Hannah and their daughter Leah.
Papa. Papa, why won't he answer me?
Come away, Avram. The ashes are still hot.
You're barefoot, Papa. You'll burn your feet. What are you looking for?
What's the sense in looking, Avram? There's nothing left. Only ashes.
I don't understand, Hannah. I never seem to be able to find my shoes. Why is it, Hannah? I just don't understand.
What is there to understand, after all? If houses are old and built of flimsy wood and packed close together, then a single spark ignites them. It's simple, isn't it? Perhaps you think I'm not sufficiently agitated, perhaps a little too objective. Well, then I must tell you in the first place, thanks to the Almighty, no one was burned. And in the second place, even 150 years ago, there were bigger flames in the world than those that destroyed two streets of houses in a village in a corner of Poland. What village? Well, if I told you the name, then what would you know? Besides, it's not the fire I'm telling you about, but what happened afterward, which was, in its way, a remarkable thing.
Come, Avram, everybody is waiting.
Look, brass knob from the bed.
You've been standing here all night, brooding. I don't like to see you like this.
Then go away, Mordecai.
It's not good for you. It's not good for a man to think only of his troubles.
What should I do? Count my blessings and give thanks?
Why not? You're safe. You and Hannah and Leah. That's reason to be thankful.
I built the house myself 22 years ago.
You'll build another house. Come, Avram.
22 years. Little by little. There was a chest near the window. Hannah saved pennies for 2 years to buy it. The closet I made for Leah had a mirror on the door, Mordecai. Growing girl likes to look in a mirror.
Listen to me, Avram.
The house, every stick of furniture, every stick of clothing, all ashes.
You'll start all over. You did it once, you'll do it again.
Again? Start again with nothing? Mordecai, I'm not a young man.
Avram, it isn't the end of the world. You'll buy new clothes and build another house.
How? Tell me how.
You're not alone. We'll find a way. The main thing is to keep your spirits up.
How easy to be cheerful for you, I mean. Your house, your fine big house is on the hill.
Oh, Avram.
Far from the fire and separated from other houses. It wasn't even blackened by the smoke, was it?
I won't take offense. I know how you feel.
Even if, God forbid, your house did burn, you'd only have to go to the bank and make a withdrawal.
Avram, I'm willing to make allowances, but...
Yes, I can see. It's really very simple for you.
I won't listen to another word. Did I set the fire?
What? Who said you did?
Did I want it? Did I rejoice at your misfortune and Jacob's and the others? Look at my hands, Avram. Are the blisters from counting my money or from carrying pails of water?
Mordecai.
Is it my fault if your house burned and not mine?
I'm sorry, Mordecai.
All right.
I'm sorry for the things I said.
I know. Come, Avram, everybody's waiting. We have to talk about what to do. Please, please, we can't all talk at once. A little quiet, please. That's better. I seem to have taken it upon myself. That is, if Reb Chaim, our rabbi, doesn't mind.
Of course not, Mordecai.
Thank you, Rabbi. I feel as deeply as anyone about this unfortunate occurrence. But sympathy is not enough. 20 houses were burned. 20 families have no place to live, no clothes to wear. And that means... Hannah, what's the use of crying now?
Let her cry. Maybe it's good for her to cry.
Please, Rabbi, don't encourage her. This is no time for tears.
Think what they've been through, Mordecai. What they have lost.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of. Rabbi, I only want to help. We all want to help. You see? I don't have to tell you what must be done, and I won't make any speeches. I'll be the first to begin. There. 10 rubles. Now, who
Why
will be the...
Why 10, Mordecai?
Excuse me, Rabbi, I don't understand.
I only asked why 10 rubles.
All right. 15.
Why 15?
Rabbi, if you don't mind my saying so, this is not what I would have expected from you.
Have I said something to offend you?
It's true that business is not too bad, and it's true that I have a few pennies in the bank, but a man has to think of... Or he has to think of his other obligations.
I'm sorry, Mordecai, I didn't make myself clear. 15 rubles is a substantial sum. As a matter of fact, I myself have never held 15 rubles in my hand at one time.
Well, then...
Only, how do you arrive at this particular amount?
I'm not altogether an ignorant man, Rabbi. I know my duty to my neighbor. I give what I can.
I see.
May I ask why you're staring at me? All I said was I give what I can.
I'm looking at your eyes, Mordecai. They're dry.
Well, Rabbi, I'm a practical man. Say what you will, 15 rubles are 15 rubles.
Yes. As I said, a substantial sum.
I think so myself. Now, let us continue.
A ruble and a half is all I can spare.
You don't have to apologize. Each according to his means. Anna, surely you don't have to cry now. Everything will be all right.
I know. Only it's the dress.
Don't understand the woman. Now she cries about a dress.
You don't understand, Mordecai. It was the dress my mother was married in. And I was married in it, and Leah was to wear it next month to be married.
She can wear another dress, can't she? When Zeusia hears about the fire, he'll even marry her in an apron. Please, Anna, stop crying.
I'll try, Mordecai.
Thank you. Now, if you'll all excuse me, I have some business.
One thing, Mordecai.
Yes, Rabbi?
I've been thinking. Where will the people sleep?
It's a problem.
The nights are getting cold.
Well, you may be sure we won't let them sleep on the bare earth. To begin with, Avram, you and your family can stay in my house if you like.
Thank you, Mordecai.
Only, I'm afraid you'll have to sleep on the floor.
Whatever you say.
On the floor?
What can I do, Rabbi? I don't have enough beds. Besides, it's not so bad. They're good oak floors, solid, without cracks. A little hard, perhaps, but after all, better than nothing.
Now, I haven't forgotten that I promised you something that was, in its way, remarkable. And I admit that what's happened so far, that a Jewish community came together to help those who had suffered misfortune, I admit that that is not unusual. I made a promise, and I'm a man of my word. But you'll have to wait while I tell you how, with the public fund they collected, they bought needles and thread and cloth. They bought nails and lumber. And the women set to work sewing clothes, while the men built houses. Even Mordecai, who on this occasion happened to be working with the shamus, that is, the sexton of the synagogue, Nathan.
You know, people do the strangest things. Now, why don't you listen to me, Mordecai?
Because I'm working, Nathan.
Well, why can't you listen at the same time?
Because gossip interferes with work.
It's not gossip. I saw it with my own eyes. Besides, it's about the rabbi.
What about the rabbi?
Yeah. Well, early this morning, it was not even light yet. I get up earlier than most people, you know.
Naturally, you're the shamus.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I had to see the rabbi about, well, what isn't important. The point is that when I knocked and he let me in, I can tell you for certain that I had awakened him from sleep.
Knowing your knock, I can believe it. But what's so strange about it?
Wait. Just wait. As I was talking to him, I happened to glance into the rabbi's bedroom. Mordecai, what do you think I saw?
What?
The rabbi's bed. Now, I haven't finished, Mordecai. The bed was made, covered with a bedspread, smooth, without a wrinkle. You don't think that's a strange thing?
No, I don't. The rabbi made his bed, that's all.
A man wakes from sleep, practically in the middle of the night, gets up and makes his bed?
It's possible.
Then tell me, why was there a blanket on the floor?
Why? It fell off the bed, that's why.
But the bed was made. No, Mordecai. I'll tell you what I think.
I don't want to hear what you think. Besides, I know what's in your mind, and it can't be true.
Well, if it can't be true, then why are you so... so excited?
I'm not excited.
Well, at least let me explain.
Excuse me, Nathan. You're my friend and a good, pious man, but I don't care to listen to gossip.
But Mordecai...
Here, take your hammer, Nathan. Let's get to work, both of us.
It was not more than a day or two later when Mordecai found that there was something he had to discuss with the rabbi. What it was is not important. The point is that it was very late at night when he came to the rabbi's house. Just as he was about to knock on the door, a thought came to him.
Maybe the rabbi is asleep. Why should I wake him practically in the middle of the night?
Mordecai turned, took exactly 3 steps, and then was stopped by another thought.
Maybe the rabbi is not asleep. Suppose...
Suppose I look through the window and see.
He turned back to peer through the glass. But the house was dark. Mordecai could see nothing. Nothing, that is, until the moon came from behind a cloud and shone straight into the rabbi's bedroom.
Imagine! Nathan, the shamus was right.
Of course I'm right, Mordecai. The rabbi is sleeping on the floor.
Without even a mattress under him.
Do you know what I think? I think that... Are you listening, Mordecai?
I'm listening.
Then I'll tell you. In one word. Backache.
What?
I do it myself. When I have a pain in my back, a bed is too soft. I throw down a blanket and lie on the straight, hard floor. A pleasure.
You really believe that, Nathan?
Well, it's possible.
Everything is possible, but you know as well as I that if Rabbi Chaim had a backache, he wouldn't even notice it.
Still, if the rabbi sleeps on the floor, there must be a reason.
Of course, there's a reason. Nathan, you must talk to him.
I? What for?
You must tell him that you have to explain to him.
Mordecai, why should you be so upset because the rabbi won't sleep in his bed?
We can't do this. It's not right. What's the use? Can't sleep. Avram. Avram. Wake up, Avram.
Mordecai, is something wrong?
Shh. I must talk to you.
Oh, wait. I'll find my shoes.
Never mind your shoes. Come.
Are you sick, Mordecai? You don't look so well to me.
Avram, how is it? I mean, can you sleep there on the floor?
You woke me up to ask me that?
I have to know. Tell me.
What is there to tell? It's not a feather bed, but I sleep.
Look, Avram. Good springs. A soft mattress.
Yes, I know. Do you mind if I go back to sleep?
Sleep in my bed, Avram.
What?
I said...
Are you sure you're not sick, Mordecai?
Please. I ask it as a favor.
I don't understand. Mordecai, you're still thinking of the things I said right after the fire.
No, not at all.
I didn't mean what I said. You know I didn't. I don't begrudge you your house and your bed and your money in the bank. Believe me, I don't.
I believe you. Lie down and go to sleep.
I couldn't do it. It was my house that burned, not yours. Why should you break your bones?
Why must you be so stubborn? I'm asking a simple little favor.
You're a good man, Mordecai. But I can't do what you want.
All I want is a little sleep.
You don't look so well, Mordecai.
You're no beauty either, Nathan, with those black rings under your eyes.
You've been thinking, eh, Mordecai?
Every night for a week. All night long.
Me too. And we're not the only ones to judge by appearances, if you know what I mean.
It can't go on, Nathan.
No? How will it stop?
Somebody must talk to him.
For example, who?
Who? If no one else will, I'll do it myself. I'll talk to him this very minute. Rabbi, we demand that... haven't you done... Rabbi, how are you sleeping these nights?
I? Oh, very well, thank you. But Mordecai, it seems to me that you...
I know, I don't look so well. Rabbi... I've come to ask, not only for myself, that you get up from the floor and sleep in your bed.
Why is it a matter of public concern where I sleep?
Please, Rabbi, I'm not a simpleton. I know what it means that you sleep on the floor. I know what you're saying, and it isn't right. Should I feel guilty that my house didn't burn?
Of course not, Mordecai.
Didn't I make a sizable contribution to the public fund? Didn't I work with a hammer in my hands? Didn't I?
You did.
Then tell me, am I or am I not entitled to lie in my bed and sleep at night?
And if I say you are entitled?
You know I did all I could.
But you can't sleep.
It's a week, Rabbi, a whole week.
Maybe what you gave was not enough. Mordecai, I have a confession to make.
You? A confession?
Yes. After the fire, when we all stood around the ashes where the houses were, with Avram and Hannah and Leah, with Jacob and the others, I thought, oh, the poor people. What will they do?
You must have known that we would help.
I knew. I knew that you would be generous and that others would help. But then another thought came. The poor people, how they must feel.
Rabbi, you said a confession.
Wait. I tried to feel what they felt. I couldn't, Mordecai. No matter how much money I gave and how hard I worked, no matter how I tried, they came creeping into my mind, like a wall between me and them. My house still standing, and the bed in my bedroom. Even now I'm ashamed to tell it.
It's a natural thing, Rabbi.
Is it? The Talmud says, before a man eats, he has two hearts. That is to say, he feels his own hunger and also another's. After he eats, he has only one heart.
So you slept on the floor?
If I did, it was not for Avram's sake. It was not to accuse you. You see that, don't you? It was for myself, Mordecai. Because a man cannot do with only one heart.
I think I'll go now, Rabbi.
I hope you'll sleep tonight, Mordecai.
It was that very night that Zusia, he who was to marry Leah, having heard about the fire, came running from his own village.
You're safe, Leah, you're safe.
But the dress, Zusia, burned to ashes.
Do you think I care about that?
It was such a lovely dress. I would have looked so pretty in it.
You're beautiful, Leah. As you are, in your apron.
And when the wedding day came, everyone was there.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hast created joy and gladness, bridegroom and bride, mirth and exaltation, pleasure and delight, love, brotherhood, and peace. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who makest the bridegroom to rejoice with the bride.
You're beautiful, Leah, my wife.
What are you waiting for, good people? It's a wedding, isn't it? Dance!
You're looking well, Nathan.
Thank you, Mordecai. You look rested, too.
Why shouldn't I? A man can rest if he only knows where to sleep.
You've heard the story, and you may ask, what happened that was so remarkable? That the rabbi taught his people a lesson? No. What else would you expect of him? No. The unusual thing is that his people learned it and discovered that compassion can make an oak floor softer than a feather bed. This happened 150 years ago. Tell me, is the world so different today? If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Morris Morgenstern, philanthropist and prominent New York civic leader. Mr. Morgenstern.
The story we have just heard dramatizes the difference between goodness and saintliness. Basically, Mordecai was a good man. He was sorry to see his friends homeless and tried to aid them. Although he contributed money and effort to help rebuild their homes, an element of duty rather than of love played a role in his generosity. Reb Chaim recognized that one must give more than material help, but he could not offer spiritual comfort to the people unless he himself experienced their suffering. When the rabbi left his comfortable bed to sleep on hard oak floor, it was an act of identification with his people. It was an act of saintliness. He wanted not to pity them as an outsider, but to help them with the compassion that comes only with complete understanding. The passage from the Talmud, "Before a man eats, he has two hearts," inspired the rabbi to know another's hunger. Mordecai learned from the rabbi's example, and in the end, he realized that goodness of the highest order demands compassion. That which is valid for individuals has meaning for groups and nations. Certainly, we in America play at least the role of Mordecai in sharing our material good with the world. Our greatness as a nation lies in our ability to act even with saintliness. For having already experienced the struggle for freedom, we are able to share with compassion and love. The less fortunate will be strengthened in their search for liberty, and we, like Mordecai, will know greater happiness.
Thank you, Mr. Morgenstern. Eternal Light Drama today, Solid Oak Floor, was written by Joseph Mendel. Cantor David Futterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Santos Ortega, Ethel Everett, Roger DeCoven, Leon Janney, Bert Cowlin, Joan Lazer, and Bill Lipton. Your narrator was Norman Rose. The music was written by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Roy Shields. This has been an NBC Radio Network production directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is the NBC Radio Network.